Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain, but then
experience and understand and enjoy and appreciate the security of that rock. Praise God. Let us turn this afternoon for just a little while to the first chapter of Revelation. Revelation 1. Let's skip down to verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And that's the subject of this afternoon message. He cometh with clouds. Now, the first thing I want to do here is to identify just who he is that is coming with such clouds. And then we're going to enlarge a little bit on the clouds themselves as to what they actually are. And so as we read here in verse 7 of this chapter, behold, he cometh with clouds. And there is really quite an extensive number of points identifying just who he is. And so let's back up to verse 4 of this chapter. John says to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him. And then he begins to go in and describing or identifying who this is. Number 1, which is. Number 2, which was. Number 3, which is to come. And then also from the 7 spirits, and that is better translated as the 7-fold spirit. And it means that that 7-fold spirit was in Jesus. And so that would be the 4th one, this 7-fold spirit which was indeed in Christ. Verse 5 is number 5, he is a faithful witness. Number 6, he's for the first begotten of the dead. Number 7, he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Number 8, unto him that loved us. Number 9, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Number 10, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And so this is quite a description of Christ and of all the things that are indeed true of him. I want to see here in our text, in verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and we read here that every eye shall see him. Now, if you will turn, we'll come back to this verse, but turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. And I want to notice that we read here, he cometh with clouds. Here in 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to read the same thing, but let's just begin with verse 13. Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Those which are asleep are those who have died, given up life in this body. So Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. And Paul doesn't tell us that we don't sorrow at all. I've heard people say and really chide others for being sad at a funeral or the departing of a loved one. And you just ought not to do that. But Paul doesn't say that we don't sorrow at all. I mean, sometimes I think people expect us to not to be human anymore, and you can't do that. We are human. We are whom God made us. And so we sorrow not as do others. We don't have the depth of sorrow that others do. And the reason is they don't have any hope. But we do. We know that those who are believers and they depart and be with the Lord, then there is great hope for them, because we know that it's not a matter of guesswork or just hope. It's a matter of assurance. We know we're going to see them along with the Lord again. In verse 14, we read, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And notice how Paul puts a condition here. Do you really believe that Jesus died and rose again? If we do, then it brings forth great results and benefits for us. And so if we believe that he died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15, if we say unto you, or with this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, Paul says, this is not my idea, this is based on Scripture. And I have been thinking more and more, and I just constantly am aware of that. God's word is the greatest assurance that we have in this world, and it really is the only assurance. You can look for anything anywhere you want to, but God's word is the surest things that we have of reality in this world, and we are to take that message, that word, to our own lives, incorporate it into our own lives, and indeed trust what it says unto us. And so here's something you can trust, Paul says. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It's not my idea. This is what God says. This is what the word of the Lord says. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede, that word prevent is better translated precede, shall not precede them which are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And let us understand that the trump he's talking about is the voice of Jesus. He has a voice like a trumpet. It's a sound of authority. It's a sound of command. And so it's the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain, that is, we are alive and we're simply remaining on this earth. We've not departed. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds. And so I want to point out the fact that we'll go back to this verse here in Revelation 1 here in just a moment. But I want to point out the fact that the pattern is exactly the same. When Jesus comes for his bride, that will be a secret coming. There are people that absolutely detest that, saying there is no such thing as a secret rapture. That's not true. Scripture tells us there are. If he's coming as a thief, it has to be in secret, and he does. He is coming as a thief for his bride, and there will be those who don't even realize that she's gone until later on. But Paul says here, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Those clouds he's talking about here at this point undoubtedly mean those Old Testament worthies of faith. We find them there in, we read, Paul testifies, seeing we are compassed about, in Hebrews 12:1. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the cloud he's talking about is all those worthies of faith that are listed in chapter 11, and there are a great number of them. They had tremendous accomplishments by faith. Paul calls them a cloud of witnesses, and that has to be the ones that he is referring to here. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, that is, those cloud of witnesses, those Old Testament worthies of faith, to meet the Lord. Notice it is in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then, verse 18, rather than sorrow, Paul says, comfort one another with these words, because we do have hope. He says, we sorrow not as others who have no hope. Well, this is the hope we have, that Jesus is coming. So comfort one another with these particular words. Let's go back up here to Revelation 1. And I want to notice the difference here, just to point out a contrast. When we see that he's coming in the clouds in 1 Thessalonians 4, it is a secret coming. He is coming as a thief. And if he's coming as a thief, it has to be in secret. Now contrast that with what we read here in verse 7 of Revelation 1. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and here every eye shall see him. Now, you see, it can't be talking about the same appearance because they're directly contradictory one to another. One is a thief where nobody sees him. Now then, we see this one where every eye shall see him. And the part I like about this one here in verse 7, he cometh with clouds. Since the bride of Christ will be with him at that time, then you and I should be a part of those clouds. We will be a part of those who are coming back with him. And notice what we read here. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. This is when Jesus is going to be revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, he is anointed that in Revelation 4 and 5. John was caught up to see it. He saw the four living ones. He saw the 24 elders who are typical of the bride of Christ, two sides of the bride of Christ, as we've seen before. And so we read here that they should be, would be, will be a part of those clouds that he's talking about, and every eye shall see him. When he appears again, and again, sometimes people think, well, Jesus is only coming one time. Not so. There are multiple appearances that Jesus will make. It's called his parousia, which means comings, plural. And so as we read here, he cometh with clouds, every eye shall see him. And when he is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it will be in order that he might have this dominance and this rule during the 1,000-year millennium. And that's when every eye is going to see him. They're going to be aware of him. They're going to be to know that he is there. And so every eye shall see him, and also they also which pierced him. This could be a reference to the Romans who actually put him on the cross. But in another place, we find out that it's the Jews who are actually responsible, because they bear the greater responsibility in delivering Jesus to the Romans. And so this is undoubtedly a reference to the Jew also here. They also which pierced him. And then he includes all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And so when he comes this time, the entire world, all parts, all nations of the world are going to be aware that he has reappeared, that he is coming. And again, I say he will rule for this 1,000 years. We also know that during that time, Israel, after they accept their Messiah, they will do that there in the middle of the week. They are going to accept the Messiah. And after that, then they too are going to be very much associated with him. And when the tribulation is over and the millennium officially begins, then Israel is going to be the head and not the tail of the nations. They're going to be set forth. So this time that we read of here, that every eye shall see him, that is the time when Jesus, once again, he has been anointed King of Kings, and Israel has come to the head of the nations, and as we have seen at different times, different places where that the nations will actually lay hold of the skirt of a Jew. The nations are going to seek out the Jew in order to learn of Christ himself. And so he is going to have that universal appearance, and again, every eye shall see him at that particular time. And of course, I say again that the clouds, they will be those Old Testament worthies of faith, but we are trusting in our own experience. We will be a part of those clouds, and rejoice over the wonderful victory that God has given Christ has taken for himself, and of course, victory given to the Jews. All right, that's as far as we will go this evening. Shall we sing?